Well, I'm glad that you're with us this morning, and I want to definitely say thank you to our hunting widows that may be joining with us today, as there are those that are out in the fields. We're glad that you could be with us celebrating today, and we look forward to this week, Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, we gotta talk about being thankful today. But I thought we would actually start out with a little bit of fun. It's okay to do that. How many like playing games? Does anybody here like games, board games? Good. Okay. All right. That excites me. Games are all about competition, right? All right. First service did pretty well. Just saying. All right. We're playing a game. Have you ever heard of the game Scattergories? Anybody ever played Scattergories? That's one of my favorite games. My wife doesn't like it. I really enjoy it. You know, it's, you get these categories, and then you roll the dice, and it gives you the letter, and you have to try to come up with as many words in those categories with those letters. So I really enjoy that. So I thought we would take just a couple of minutes as we start out and kind of play a little bit of PAC Scattergories. And the way that this is... I want these to be answers that are often overlooked things that you're thankful for. You know, we can talk about what we're thankful for, and we did just a moment ago online there where you typed it in, and, you know, there's the normals, there's the family, there's the church, there's the health, there's the blessings. We put all of those things down, but then there are some things that maybe we don't really just bring them up as thanks quite often. They kind of get left off to the side, but we're thankful for them anyways. So I'm going to give you a letter, and then I want you to just say out loud, and kind of like the popcorn answers, I want you to say out loud your answer for that letter, what you are thankful for. All right? Are you ready? Like I said, first service did pretty well. Say it out loud so that everybody can hear it. So here we go. The first one, letter is B.
Birds.
Birds, good one. The Bible?
Buildings,
yeah.
Blessings?
Butter. Did I hear butter? Yes! See, those things that we don't often say that we're thankful for, but yes, butter is good.
Bread.
Bread, you got to have something. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have something with the butter, but that works. Burgers.
Bacon.
Yes! First service did not get bacon, and I was so disappointed. So, very good. You won. I mean, that's it right there. Bacon answers everything. All right, here we go. Next letter, D.
Dog.
Dog.
Dad.
Okay. Dice. Okay. All right.
Dennis.
Dennis. All right, good. We're... Dad, desserts, yes. Which, you know, remember, on Wednesday night we're doing pie, so you want to, it's a good one. Good reminder for that. Dairy Queen. Daughters, dishwasher. Yeah. You know, for men, I was expecting duct tape to come in here at some point in time. The greatest fixer of all things. Okay, ready? Next one. F. Flowers, food.
Fun.
Freezer, yeah. Those turkeys are happy there.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Family.
Fritos. Faith. Maybe some people. I'm glad you're thankful for that.
Fridays.
Oh, everybody's thankful for those.
French fries.
Fresh fries food, yeah. You know, Forever stamps. Remember how frustrating that was to have to find 2-cent stamps that, and you're like lining them all up on there just to make it so that it paid? It was a pain. So, okay. Ice cream.
That's always, I'm on board with that one.
Ice.
Intellect.
Ooh, intellect. That's a good one. Ireland.
Igloo.
Well, you know what? That was in the first one too. That's a cool thing to be thankful for, and actually, I'm thankful that I don't have to live in the igloo. Yeah.
Imagination.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Illinois.
I think a few people just said, "There's the door," right? No, just kidding. We can be thankful for them. Yes, yes, yes.
Somebody has.
Somebody has to be. Okay, yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that I am indoor bathrooms. Remember those days? Yeah. Right now, we're really thankful for the indoor. Yeah, okay. Last one, P. Paint. Plumbing. Pie. And again, remember, pie, Wednesday night. Pie. Plumbers. Oh, well, thanks. I'll pay you afterwards. Peanut butter. Ooh, that is a good one. Potatoes. Especially at Thanksgiving. You got to have them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Prayer.
That goes with the pie on Wednesday night. Very good. We're working that in as much as we can, by the way. Well, thanks.
Pizza!
There's the one. That was mine. I you know, pizza's so good. The guy who invented that, you got to be thankful for that. So, you guys did great. I'd have to say this group won. I would. You came up with more. So, good job. Great job. So, here's the question. Is it easy to come up with things to be thankful for? You know, it's we come to Thanksgiving and we talk about it and we talk about the things that we're thankful for, and it might be a little bit different, but one of the things that we want to talk about is cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Now, some of you probably understand this better than I do, but as a farmer, one of the things that a farmer does is cultivates the field, turns it over, prepares it for the next season, the next seed to be planted. And when we think about thankfulness or gratitude, we can actually cultivate our heart. There's things that we can do that cause us to be more thankful the longer we go. We can kind of practice at it. Dr. Robert Emmons, and I love what he does, he is a gratitude researcher and psychology professor at the University of California. He came up with 10 habits to cultivate gratitude. And these are the things that I just quickly to go through them. He said, number one is journal. It's good to have a journal, write it down. About 10 people in the world do that, maybe. I'm horrible at it. But he says, if you can write it down, you'll tend to be more thankful. Another thing he said is, don't avoid the negatives. And I thought that was interesting. He says, one of the things is you embrace the setbacks in life and actually see how far you've come. So when he says, don't forget, don't play away those negative things, actually be thankful for them because of what they have done. He then goes on to say, spend time with loved ones. That's a good thing. Tell them you love them was another one that he said. And then he says, use social media mindfully. And it was interesting because he said these words. He said, positive posts spread faster than negative ones. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. The positive posts that are put out there actually move through and get shared a whole lot more than the negative ones. So use social media mindfully. He said, know the value of little things. Know the value of little things like toilet paper, apparently these days. It's a very precious commodity. Then he says, help others to appreciate the little things so you can throw that around their trees. Volunteer, he says. Volunteering helps to promote thankfulness. Get moving, exercise, get up out of the chair, do some movement, he said. And then the last one, he said, love yourself. Now, as you look at these are all good things. I wouldn't say that there's any bad things in there. But one of the things that we do know is God created us. So it would seem that if we want to understand how to cultivate what it would look like to be thankful, that we would actually go to God's Word. And God does bring us His Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, so I'd encourage you to go there. And Paul actually gives us a list of things that we can do. That if you do these things, it will cultivate that attitude of gratitude. So actually, it's a very simple time this morning. I'm not going deep into much. This is just what Paul brings to us that God brought to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, Paul says these words, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. and reject every kind of evil. So it's pretty simple when you look at this. Paul gives us this list and he says, here's what you can do. These are the things that you can incorporate into your life. And as you do, it will increase your gratitude for things in life. So he says the first one is simple. Rejoice. He says rejoice always. First place to start is in this one place. Now understand, last week we talked about Jonah. We finished up Jonah and we actually talked about rejoicing. We talked about praising because Jonah missed the mark with that one. He missed the opportunity to praise because he was so focused on himself. But here Paul says, rejoice always. Rejoice not only when times are good, but rejoice when times are difficult, when things are hard, when you're struggling in that way. There's always something to be thankful for. You know, it's actually one of the things that we were just doing now was coming up with ideas, things of that nature. And so you could probably spend time over the course of the next week and just finding things and saying those things that you're thankful for. But if you struggle, because every once in a while we get into those really dark places and all of a sudden we're going, there's really nothing to be thankful for, but if you get to that place, we can go to where the psalmist said that we can find gratitude in. And that's in Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22. And in those words, the psalmist says, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You look at that and really, what do we have to be thankful for? God himself. I mean, how many times do we just stop and go, okay, God, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you are the creator of all things. I'm thankful that you are the sustainer of all life. And are we thankful for all that he does in and through us? And when we do, we consider what God has done. We can't help but praise him for those things. God is with us in the midst of difficult times. God is with us in the middle of the great times. God is always with us. We can always be thankful for that. But there's another thing that we can find in Scripture, and this is an interesting story. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples, and it's kind of like a precursor to what was coming. And so Jesus sends out the disciples and he says, I want you to go out, I want you to proclaim the message, you're going to have power, and you're going to heal the sick, you're going to do all different kinds of things, demons, you're going to cast out demons. And so they go out and they do all of this, and then they come back and they're kind of debriefing with Jesus. And as they're debriefing with him, one of the things that they're really excited about is that they had this opportunity to go out and the impact that it was and the power that they had. And Jesus says something very interesting. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, he says to them, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And as I read that, I went, you know, what an incredible thing to be thankful for. We can be thankful for God for what he has done in our lives. But the fact of the matter is this, for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we have our names written in the book of life in heaven. We have the hope of eternity. Now understand that this is a verse that is very specific. That it is not one of those ones that you just kind of throw out there for everybody. We understand that this is for those who have come to terms with the fact that Jesus is their Lord. He is their Savior. They have accepted the gift of the cross. And they have submitted to Jesus' lordship and authority in their lives. And all of a sudden, when you consider that, I mean, hopefully as you're sitting here this morning, you've done that, and there is something right there to be thankful for, because life would be so much different if we didn't have Christ in us. Imagine that for just a moment. If you were sitting in this point in time, this year that we've had to go through, how different would it have been if you didn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It would have been very different, wouldn't it? There are people all over this world that have no hope because they don't know Christ. So when we look at this, honestly, the first thing that when Paul says rejoice always, we always have a reason to be rejoicing and praising God, our Creator, our Sustainer, who loves us, and that our names are written in heaven for that. But he says, let's go on from there. He says, the second thing would be prayer. Now, prayer is that great cliche or Sunday school answer. You know, it's that answer that really is to just about everything. When you ask the question as a teacher, it's always Jesus or prayer or the Bible, right? You know, it's like the teacher that asked the students, what is something that's little brown fluffy tail? And the one of the students said, well, it sounds like a squirrel, but I think it's Jesus. Prayer fixes everything, right? So whenever there's a question, you just pray about it. Well, yeah, that's true. But it's also very true. If you want to increase gratitude, prayer is that thing that will do it. You've heard me talk about it several times in the past, but several years ago, I took part in I was in a conference when they had us do this 15 minutes of listening to Jesus, listening to God, sitting down, not, you know, when we often pray, we like to go to God and we like to tell God what to do, right? We like to say, here's what I need you to know. And we can talk for 15 minutes with God. But to sit there silently and say, Lord, speak to me, is a very difficult thing to do. But what's interesting is when you come through that and you come out the other side and you spend that time, it changes who you are. It changed who I was. And all of a sudden, here we find ourselves that we have been in the presence of God. We have experienced the heart of God. And as we are in His presence, as we're experiencing His presence, it changes us from the inside as well. And a result of that is gratitude. We begin to experience Him. In Hebrews 11:6, we read a very common passage that you probably know well. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, oftentimes when we're looking at this passage, we focus on that first part. We focus on the part that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we kind of park there for a while. But look at what it says at the end. That He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. One of the ways that we seek Him is in prayer. When we go to Him, when we pray, when we spend time in His presence, we begin to experience Him. But we have to do it. You know, at that 15 minutes in that conference, it was hard. The first time I sat down and I did that, my instinct was I wanted to start talking to Jesus. I wanted to start telling Him what was going on in my life. I wanted to start telling Him my frustrations and all of those things. And that wasn't bad, but that wasn't the thing that we were doing. We were supposed to be quiet. And so for the first couple of minutes, I kept struggling with myself wanting to take over. And then all of a sudden, as we get into this, and a few minutes into it, I started to relax and rest and allow God to speak into my heart. And when that 15 minutes was up, I didn't want it to end. Because it was such an incredible experience. Now, I can't even tell you what we were talking about in that conference. I don't remember that at all. I don't know if I could even tell you who the speaker was. But the one thing I can tell you is that moment, that 15 minutes sitting in that room alone with God, changed everything. And I find that when I do that, I find the presence and experience of God to be such that it increases my sense of gratitude, my attitude. Prayer is a huge attitude adjuster. Not only because of the presence of God, but also because of the power that we experience in and through prayer. You know, have you really stopped to consider how incredibly powerful prayer is? Oftentimes, it's just like this thing. I just talk to God. It's like, oh yeah, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what I need. Go ahead and do it. But when you consider it, we begin to understand the power that is at our disposal in prayer. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, these are the words that Jesus says. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You know, it's interesting because we love the passage. We love the part that says, you know, ask for anything in my name. Okay, I'm going to ask away. You know, here's my list. This is what I need done. But do you understand what he says? This is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus did some amazing things, and he says, look, here's what it is. The power at your disposal is such that you will do even more works than I have done. Do you get that?
Yeah.
That's the power that is at our disposal. We have the incredible power of the Holy Spirit through prayer, and that just has to bring us to that point of going, how incredible are you, God? Prayer will impact who we are. You want to cultivate your attitude of gratitude? You want to see that go up? Then here's what suggested that Paul says, pray. But then he goes on and he says the third thing. He says, give thanks. Give thanks. You know, it sounds kind of strange because we're talking about cultivating the attitude of thankfulness, but yet one of the points is simply this. If you want to be a thankful person, give thanks. The more you give thanks, the more thankful you become, and you begin to cultivate that attitude of gratitude. Now, let me see if I can put it in this way. This last week, they played the Masters, right? Anybody golf? A couple of you, all right? It's a very frustrating sport at times, but I don't know, I keep going back. I love playing golf, but I can tell you one thing. I would never be able to play in the Masters. You know why? I'm not good enough. Exactly. You know, I love it. Honesty is right there. You're terrible. No. You know, I like to play the game of golf. Now, maybe I could play about as well as Tiger Woods did in one of his rounds. Hit three of them in the water. I can do that. I've done that quite often. But, you know, when you think about it, these guys that play at that level, they practice a lot. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I read is that the average pro golfer practices no less than 5 hours a day. Now, when I first read that, I went, well, that sounds great. Go out on the golf course and just play golf every day? That's a dream job right there. I could do that. Well, they don't just go out and play golf. They go to the driving range, and for 5 hours, they will take one club and keep hitting that over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they know that when the time comes, they are going to have to know that they can use that club in that position, in that setting, exactly the same, and they have to get into a rhythm. So they practice, practice, practice. And what happens is their score gets better. My score has not changed in the last 25 years. You know why? Because I play like once or twice a year. I don't practice it at all. So my game doesn't improve. It's the same with Thanksgiving. If I am going through life and all I do is I come to Thanksgiving and I go, oh, you know what? It's Thanksgiving. I suppose I should probably say what I'm thankful for. You know, we're going to be stuck in the same place of giving thanks. But if we practice being thankful, if we are verbal about what we are thankful for, it has this way of impacting our attitude of gratitude. And as a matter of fact, Paul tells us, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now notice what he says when we should be giving thanks. When you're anxious, give thanks. Have you done that recently? You know what, God, I'm really stressed out. Thank you. That's a tough thing to say, isn't it? Man, things are really hard right now. I appreciate that. We don't go that way, but that's what Paul says. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, and when you're praying and when you're asking God for things, being thankful in that as well, always giving thanks. And he even adds in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he adds these words, always giving thanks. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see when we should be giving thanks, always and for everything. Have you ever stopped and said, God, I really thank you for this horrible, horrible thing that is happening in my life? It just doesn't happen that way. But yet that's what he says, and always giving thanks for everything. Every conversation, our first reaction, our first response should be to give thanks. Could you imagine what would happen if the body of Christ, if the church of Christ came to a place where we said this one simple thing, every time that I open my mouth, the first thing that's going to come out is going to be a thanks, an encouragement, or an uplifting statement. I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to give thanks. If that was the first thing that we were to do always in every situation, what do you think could happen? Man, I tell you what. If we started to do that, if we lived that as who we were, people would see Jesus And they would want to know, how is it that you're so different? But we need to cultivate the attitude of gratitude. And the way that we do that is by simply repeating over and over and over again, these are the things that I'm thankful for. What are you thankful for? Are you telling people? One of the things I would encourage us to do is over the course of this next week, just take time, take a few moments each day and just come up with 10 things that you're thankful for. And if you're at home with somebody, you know, just say, hey, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this. Watch what happens by the end of the week when everything that you're doing is in that attitude of gratitude. Paul kind of brings us in a fourth point with this passage, and it kind of is a little different than the other ones. And he says, the last thing for cultivating an attitude of gratitude is to avoid sin. Avoiding sin is an important thing because really when you look at this, sin is the one thing that can destroy thankfulness. Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. And he says, reject every kind of evil. Sin is the greatest stealer of joy. It's the greatest stealer of our peace. And it also does it to gratitude. And how can this be? Well, if you look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, this Isaiah said, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so you will not hear. It's really a simple equation when you think about this. When we have sin in our lives, it impacts the relationship that we have with God. If we're out of relationship with God, then what happens is we begin to lose the joy of our salvation in Christ in our lives. As we lose the joy of our salvation, we lose that joy in our lives, we lose the gratitude for the things that God is doing around us. We all of a sudden get to this place where we don't see what is going on. Sin causes a break in the relationship. And that causes us to lose hope. And as we lose hope, we come to this place where we really can easily say, there is nothing to be thankful for. I can't think of a single thing. But a lot of times when we reach that point, we can come back to, has sin been that thing in our lives? So how do we do this? How do we avoid sin? Well, Paul gives it pretty simple in Colossians 3, verse 2. He simply says these words, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So part of avoiding sin is having our minds set in the right place. So it's kind of like, be thankful, give thanks, think on these positive things, because as we think on the positive things, as we focus on the right things, that causes us to focus on God more and the other things less. And as we are in the presence, as we're focusing on God more, what begins to happen is this. Sin doesn't have the allure that it once had. Temptation isn't as strong. And all of a sudden, when Satan is throwing these things at us, our joy has increased because our fellowship with God has increased, and it is cultivated in such a way that we begin to become thankful in all things and all times. It's amazing how these things intermingle. Satan loves to use sin in our lives. And he knows that if he can catch us, what's going to happen is our attitude of gratitude is going to go down because we're not seeing what God is doing. Have our minds set on things above. Dr. Emmons had some good ideas. He had some great ideas in that, in those 10 habits for cultivating thankfulness or gratitude. But, you know, God has a greater one. And God's list was a little bit shorter as well. And I'm always thankful for that. Shorter lists work well. But, you know, one of the things that we can do is we can always be thankful. Now, I don't know if you do this, but one of the things that we do in our family, we've been doing it for several years now, is when we're having Thanksgiving meal together, the question is asked, what are you thankful for? And we go around the table and we share what we're thankful for. Now, when we first started doing that, we were at one of our families, and right in the middle of the meal, you know, you're eating your turkey and your mashed potatoes, and all of a sudden, whoever it was just said, you know, I think we should go around the table and we should all share what we're thankful for. It was awkward the first time. It was really weird. Because it was like all of a sudden you're put on the spot and you're like, what am I thankful for? And you hadn't thought about it, you hadn't prepared, you hadn't done anything. So we go around the table and it was the normal answers. You know, I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for that I have work. I'm thankful that I have health. I'm thankful for Jell-O and not cranberry sauce. I'm, you know, you know, different things like that. And so we kind of did the normal things. But as the years went on, those moments became precious. Because all of a sudden, it turned from this, you know what, I'm thankful for the menial thing, to hear some things that I truly am thankful for. And we begin to share our heart. You know, I am so thankful that I have a family that loves Jesus with all their heart. I couldn't ask for anything better. You know, I love that God has given us the gift of salvation. I love that God has brought us to be a part of a wonderful church family. There's so much that I'm thankful for. He has sustained our health. There's so much more that we can be thankful for. How about you? As we cultivate this attitude of gratitude, what are you thankful for this year? Paul makes it easy. If you want to increase in thankfulness, rejoice always for everything. Pray. Give thanks. Practice. Every day, give more thanks. And avoid sin. And he says, if you do these things, you will experience an increase in gratitude for what God is doing. And as a result of that, it will become evident to others around. And what an opportunity that presents to us. As I'm thankful for what God has done, I begin to share with others what God is continuing to do. And I get to share His story with others. Are you thankful? I pray that you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,